the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this month's Millennial Monday.
I'm Justine Hall.
And I'm Crystal Kessler.
So we got the idea for this show a while back when one day everyone in the office was talking about what credit cards they use and what rewards they get. And people got pretty passionate about what cards they use and why. And this got us thinking, because there's so much more to credit cards than just scoring some airline points, as great as that can be. We'll walk you through what a credit score really is, why you want a good one, and what you can do to get there, and of course, how to select the right credit card for you.
So one of our coworkers was actually looking into getting our credit card, which is kind of also what prompted us to do this podcast. And I think a lot of people are actually nervous about getting a credit card because they hear about the horror stories of hurting your credit card debt, someone stealing your credit card. If you follow the simple rules that we're going to go over during this podcast, be responsible, pay off your credit cards each month, and report once a year along with your FICO score, which we will explain later on in this podcast.
And I think a lot of people, too, are like, debit cards are just easier, but that's not the case.
Oh, yeah, no. Debit cards can seem easier to use, but they're not really useful other than really a convenient way to spend your money. You're building your credit if you're using a credit card, and that'll significantly impact you later on in life. So it's best to use them for like small purchases and to ensure you can pay your monthly bill on time.
So our credit score, which is often referred to as a FICO score, is the measure most commonly used by lenders to determine the risk involved in doing business with a borrower. So this score is used to determine if someone will qualify for a loan, what interest rate they'll pay. It's also sometimes used to set insurance rates and used by some landlords and employers. Though employers receive a version of your credit report, they won't be able to see your actual credit score. And Aaron Lowry of Broke Millennial calls credit scores your report card for life. And that sounds intimidating, but it really doesn't have to be that bad. And our FICO score isn't the only type of credit score, but it's the one most commonly used. And the score was created by the Fair Isaac Corporation, now known as FICO. And a little history lesson here. The whole idea of a credit score isn't actually that old. Prior to the 1950s, getting a loan was extremely subjective and essentially came down to whether the banker felt like you could repay the loan. So this method didn't exactly give equal lending opportunities to women and minorities. The first model for credit scores came out in 1958, and the iteration we're most familiar with today came out in the 1980s. So credit scores can actually be our friend.
Well, at least nowadays you don't have to be best friends with the banker then.
While FICO won't reveal their secret formula for how they compute their scores, it's common knowledge that the score incorporates five major components and with varying levels of importance. So we'll explain what those are and how you can make them work for you.
All right, so late or missed payments, which, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Don't be late on your credit card payments.
Exactly.
Or forget about them either.
Yeah, because it accounts for 35% of your score.
Yeah, and this is also with student loans or other types of credit that you have, which we'll get into later, but that could be like a mortgage, a car payment, student loans. So it's not just a late or missed payment on your credit card. It's also a late or missed payment on any of those other types of loans.
Yeah, and I do have a personal story to share here. And, you know, don't judge me for this. I'm only human, but it's not as scary as you think because I actually did miss a payment on my credit card, one of my like new credit cards that I got. And I was so upset because I've never missed a payment and I'm so good about checking it all the time because I know the effects of it. And so I was talking to my dad because I got a late, not only did I get a late fee and an interest charge, it was the interest was charged on the outstanding balance. So it was so high. It wasn't just the $100 payment that I missed.
Whatever the minimum payment is, right? It was the whole balance.
The entire outstanding balance. So I was like, oh my gosh. It was almost a little over $70. And I was like, oh, I don't want to pay this. And so my dad told me that they actually have a one-time like courtesy forgiveness a lot of the times if you call in and you're always good about paying off your cards on time, and they can see that in your history. So I called them and I let them know what happened, and they actually really did remove the late fee and the interest charge.
That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, a lot of the times you can call, and then also they did tell me you have 30 days in order for them to not report it to the credit bureaus to actually hurt your credit.
And then another one is too much credit used. And so the way your credit has been used, which is 30% of your score. So a person who is maxed out or close to their borrowing limit on their credit card is considered a greater risk. So always keep your balance on your credit card below 30% of that limit. And that's kind of technical, but basically you'll see, like, you might have, depending on your credit score, they'll give you a limit, say $2,000 or whatever it is. So you only want to use 30% of that limit in order to maximize this part of the credit score.
Yeah. So at this point, don't even look at the limit. Just configure what 30% of your limit actually is.
Or what you can afford to pay off every month, even better.
Even better, yes. Another factor in your FICO score is the length of history. So a short credit card history is going to affect your score. So the longer amount of time that you have for the credit cards, the better your credit score is going to be.
Basically, you want to keep your oldest line of credit open if you can. So if you applied for a credit card maybe when you were in college or whatever the very first card you opened is, you want to do your best to be able to keep that one open because it's not necessarily how old you are, but it's how long you've had a line of credit.
Right. And also, if you do whatever your oldest credit card is or the first credit card you've ever used, always keep that credit card open, even if you don't like using the benefits anymore.
It's not the most exciting, fun, shiny card with like all of the mileage.
Exactly. You want to keep that card open and just use it once every 6 months or so and put a little purchase on it and then pay it off.
Yeah. And then another one as well is new credit inquiries. So this is the number of times you've applied for credit in a short time frame. So basically just do your research before you apply for a credit card because applying for too many in a short period of time can hurt your score. And this is 10% of your score. So it's not as big as the other factors, but it's still a major factor.
Oh, yeah. And actually, one thing that I did find out that was pretty cool, and I'm not trying to promote it or anything, but, you know, the Apple Card, the credit card just came out, and I was looking into it, and they have some pretty cool features. But one thing that I noticed was when you apply for the credit card, they do a soft inquiry. So it doesn't actually affect your credit score at first. It doesn't actually affect your score and, like, submit a hard inquiry until you accept it.
Oh.
Which then you're already approved. You already have it. So
everyone apply for the Apple Card.
Yeah, pretty much. No.
So then the last factor of the five FICO factors are too few types of credit. So this doesn't just mean credit cards. Like we said earlier, it also includes mortgages, auto, and student loans. And as Crystal and Josh discussed in last month's podcast, if you're responsibly paying off your student loans each month, that debt can actually help your credit score.
And this is 10% of your credit score, so.
Yeah, and credit scores don't include information like your current income or your length of employment.
Yeah, so one thing that Justine and I want to talk about is why you want a good credit score.
Yeah, why does this even matter?
Yeah. So most lenders consider 760 the cutoff for excellent credit. And remember, for FICO, it goes up to 850. Pretty much once you hit 760,
you're golden.
Exactly. What that credit score can do for you, you'll receive the same type of benefits as somebody with an 850, but you pretty much can obtain like a car loan for as low as 2-4% when you're buying a new car or a used car. You could also qualify for 0% financing, which is huge. Another great thing is credit cards. You'll get the most valuable perks on it and sign-up bonuses, which obviously is one of the big incentives when you look for a card and you purchase your card. And then mortgages for a 30-year fix, you can get rates between 3-5%, which is amazing. And then you can qualify for lower rates on loans, which allows you to save money.
Yes. So the higher your credit score, the more money you get to save. So that's why it's really important to start building it up now, or even if it's low, that's okay. There are tons of steps you can take, which we'll talk about, to build up your credit score again, because it really does work for you when you have a high credit score. And I know most people don't get as excited about credit scores as Crystal and I do, which is understandable, but you don't want to turn a blind eye and think, my credit isn't going to be good, so let me just ignore this one more month, and then suddenly years have gone by and you've completely ignored your credit score. I know I used to feel this way before I was equipped with like the knowledge of how important these scores are and how much building good credit when you're young really, really helps you down the road. And it's a lot easier to start building credit now when you're young, when you're kind of starting off with a clean slate of a credit score, if you're able to, and then building it up from there. So that's why we're just doing this podcast, is to be able to say, here are all the important things, here's what you want to look out for in building a credit score.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that you shouldn't worry about is if you do have a lower credit score, it's okay, because you can actually improve it a number of ways. So it's not like set in stone that you have poor credit and you're never going to be able to come back from it. No, there's plenty of things that you can do.
You can start improving it in a month. I had a student loan that I had missed a payment on. And so, yikes, that affects your credit score, let me tell you. And I immediately started paying off my monthly credit statements and doing some other things to kind of improve my credit score. And it improved drastically in a year. So it really is like it can improve really fast.
Yeah. And so a couple of these tips are you want to make sure that you pay your card balances in full, not just the minimum payment, in full when it's due. And then another one is keep your credit card balances below 30, but ideally below 10%. That's going to really help your credit score. Keep your oldest credit cards, like we said before, active because the length of that credit card history is going to affect your score.
And pretty much these tips are just the FICO, the five factors that we just discussed. It's doing those things, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's this is how they're grading it. So it's like a report card. Okay, so this is what they're grading us on. We're going to do all of these things.
Yeah. And one personal story that I have too is I did apply for a credit card and I wasn't thinking when I was applying for it, but I was actually applying for the limit that I was. So instead of what in my personal mind, I thought I was putting in the amount that I was going to be charging on the card instead of the actual limit I was applying for. So I got my limit and I put my charge on the card because I had gotten my card, put it all on there. And then I realized it was way over 30%. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I know this is going to actually hit my credit. So it actually did. And it dropped by, I think it was like 30 points or something along those lines. But then I paid it off to make sure that it was below that 30%. And within 2 months, my credit score was back up to the original factor that it used to be. So I was very happy about that.
So it is easy to manage it. And you can increase your credit score really quickly if you're just following this kind of tips that we've been talking about.
So those are kind of some of the ways that you can improve your credit score. But another thing that you should be checking often is obviously your credit report. And by going to annualcreditreport.com, you can do that once a year. So keep current. It'll actually list out every single credit card that you have. It'll list out if you're current on the credit card. It'll list out all your debts that you have. So your student loans and if you're up to date on that. I mean, this thing reveals everything to you.
Yes. And you can also sign up for different types of online banking. Again, we're not endorsing any of these, but I like to use Mint, and Crystal was one who told me about that. They also provide a credit score update every month, and it won't affect your score because it's just like a soft inquiry. But it's excellent to always keep track, see if it went down, what happened, if it went up, what you did. So it's a really great way to keep on track.
Yeah, and one thing to make sure that you never miss a payment is you can actually set up automatic payments where you link up your bank accounts to your credit card so that way you don't even have to worry about it. Just set it, forget it, and don't worry about it.
And so if you do have credit card debt, create a payment plan so that you can see all your debt in one place, gather it all together, and then identify which have the highest interest rates and work to pay those off first. So odds are that any credit card debt you have will be the debt with the highest interest too.
Right, and honestly, every time that I hear somebody saying, oh, I paid off my minimum balance, just the minimum balance, I kind of cringe because literally it's the easiest way to build up your debt so fast because your minimum balance only goes to your interest payment first and then it goes to your outstanding balance. So if you're just only paying off that interest, it just accumulates and compounds. And the worst thing with credit card debt is it compounds daily. It's not just monthly or yearly, it's daily.
And when you look at your credit card statement, pretty much the first thing that jumps out at you is like minimum due. And they make it look like this is what you're supposed to pay because that's what they want you to pay because that's how the credit card companies are making money is on that interest. And it's kind of tricky too, or like sneaky, because when you're opening up your credit card statement to pay every month, that's the first thing, at least on my card, that jumps out. It's like minimum due, $25. I'm pretty sure I've charged, you know, my entire monthly expenses on here. So it's not going to be $25, but it is tricky because that's what they want you to pay. So just make sure you're aware of paying the minimum balance. If you're able to pay more, is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. And just also with the whole minimum balance thing, don't even look at that. Just whatever you put on a credit card, make sure that you can pay it off at the end of the month. So important. It's going to...
Number one credit card rule.
Yeah, number one of all. If you're going to get a credit card, make sure that you're going to pay it off every single month.
And so an example of why you don't want to only pay the minimum balance. So Let's say you have a balance on your card for $1,000 for a flat screen TV you purchased at 18% APR, which is the annual percentage rate. So essentially the interest that will be charged. It's a fancy way of saying interest. Yeah. Your minimum payment is only $35 a month. So if you only pay that minimum payment, it will take you 38 months to pay off that TV, and the interest will cost you $330. So ask yourself, was that TV really worth $1,000 plus the extra $330 you paid in interest? And so, Crystal, I know that you were telling me an example that's actually just happened when we were preparing for this. You said that you had a client who actually had, you were helping them with their credit card debt, and it was perfect timing for this podcast.
No, it really truly was. So I have a client, and he was about $35,000 in credit card debt, and he wanted to get out from underneath it because it is a burden. I mean, just carrying that with you, that's got to be really stressful.
Well, and the interest you're getting on that every single month, it kind of feels like you can't escape it.
Exactly. And so, you know, I've been studying for my CFP, so I've been learning a lot of debt strategies and how to get rid of your debt, and whether it's credit card, student loans, whatever the case may be. And so I started looking into all my study material and just ways that you can kind of get rid of credit card debt. And so a couple things that I was looking into, but mainly for my client, was a lot of the times you can call into your credit card company and ask them to lower your payments or lower the interest rate that is actually being charged on your balance due. So I told him, call your credit card company, because a lot of the times they will lower the payment. And I mean, the payment was over $700 a month, so it was really hard for him to keep kind of afloat on that. Mm-hmm. And so he called in, and I even looked up his personal credit card and found the personal hardship line to actually have him call. So he ended up calling, and they actually lowered his credit card payments to a little over $400 a month, and then 0% APR on that. And he would have to pay it off within 5 years. And I actually did the math, and it was literally just his outstanding balance. And then the payments covered every single thing within that 5 years. So as long as he keeps up with the payments and doesn't miss a payment, he'll be fine and he'll pay off the credit card debt. The only downside is those companies, once you do go on a payment plan like that, they're going to shut off your credit card.
So no more charging. But that's a great way to be able to pay off debt that can kind of feel like an impossible amount to pay off.
Yeah. And not to mention, now the interest on that outstanding balance isn't going to be accumulating anymore. It's just pay off that debt and get through it and move on. So it was really cool to actually help out a client like that and have him feel so relieved at the end, because he's not going to have to worry about the credit card payments anymore. And I mean, the credit card payments he's going to have to worry about because he has to pay it off every month, but it's a lot lower and he doesn't have to worry about this burdening debt for the rest of his life, just accumulating more and more.
Now we're going to move on to the exciting part of the show about how to find a credit card and the right credit card for you. So there are so many fun cards out there with great reward points or hotel points, flight points, all different kinds of things. But if you are just starting out, a great place to begin is with a cashback card earning a minimum of 1.5% or preferably 2% cashback. And then once you've established your credit and you have a good credit habit, you can couple this card with another card that provides more cashback or greater rewards in categories where you're already spending money, such as groceries, travel, or gas. So basically, you don't want to get, you know, an airline card if you're flying every other year or maybe once a year. That probably won't make as much sense as a different type of card. So it's really looking at what your spending habits already are and finding a card that will align with those.
Yeah, no, exactly. And when you're looking for credit cards, ask yourself exactly what your goal is. Is it going to be travel? Is that what you want to do in life? If you want more cash back as rewards, if you want lower APRs, so, you know, the interest charged on your card, or if you're trying to transfer a balance, whatever the case may be, look at what your goal is going to be and then select your card based on that. So personally, I love to travel. So I knew all my credit cards were going to be based off of travel. So that way I could fly for cheaper or stay at hotels for cheaper, whatever the case may be. It had to have those types of benefits. So one thing to make note of is to kind of be mindful of what it takes to actually get those first-time benefits. So one of my credit cards, it was for my traveling card for flights and miles. You had to spend $3,000 in the first 3 months to even get that incentive first-time bonus. So I think it was like 50,000 miles if you spent $3,000 in 3 months. So I did end up doing that, but I mean, I put everything on that credit card. I put my groceries, my gas, even my car insurance payment, which actually reminds me, I do have to pay that off by the 9th, so I'm going to have to do that. But I made sure like everything went on there. So I did hit it, so that was the good news. But it is, I mean, thinking about spending $1,000 a month and then making sure that you're going to be able to pay it off every single month, you got to be mindful about that.
Right. And you don't want to get one of these cards and, you know, think, okay, how am I going to spend $3,000? Like, you don't want to go overspend or go above and beyond your budget just to get these extra reward points. So it is important to be aware of that. But like Crystal said, if all of your expenses are on there and then you can hit that budget, then that's a perfect way to do it. But you don't want to overextend yourself and spend a bunch of money that you didn't have budgeted out to spend just to get those extra miles.
Exactly. Justine's so right. Another thing to really keep in mind of is some of the cards will actually have an annual fee. So if you can't afford to pay that annual fee of $95 every single year on your anniversary, don't get that credit card. A lot of them have no annual fees. Like, you don't even have to worry about it. Some even have, Justine was telling me the other day, like $495 for an annual fee.
I saw one that was outrageous. And when I was first getting my credit card, I had just graduated from college, and even a $95 annual fee seemed like an absolute fortune. So I had a card when I was living abroad that didn't charge me any foreign transaction fees. And so the card is essentially that. It just doesn't charge you any transaction fees when you're in another country. The most important thing to me was that there was no annual fee. And now, definitely worth it if you do use it and you have all of these great rewards points like Crystal's talked about. It really is worth paying that $95. I don't know about a $500 annual fee, but it is just, you know, really making sure the card you have aligns with your current spending.
Yeah. So a couple of cards that I wanted to talk about is some of the cards that I personally have, not advocating for them at all, but I do enjoy them because for me, the goals of traveling, this does help. So I have the United Mileage Visa card, and basically you get 2 miles for every dollar that you spent, which was big for me because I need to accumulate miles as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. And then they also give you your first bag in checked for free. And then they also give you 2 one-time passes to the United Club. So there's free food there and you get drinks, and it's nice to lounge there, especially if you have like a layover that's mm-hmm. kind of longer. One drawback is they do have the $95 annual fee. But to me, honestly, some of those bonuses and the perks of the card actually make up for that $95. And then the other card that I have is the Marriott Bonvoy card. So that's like my hotel stays. So that one does also have a $95 annual fee, which obviously I don't like that. But they have one night free every single year.
Kind of pays for it in itself.
Truly, exactly. Yeah. And it has the same thing. For every dollar that you spend, you get 2 times the points. And they have no foreign transaction fees when you travel. So you can use that card just like Justine said when she traveled abroad. Like, that's so nice and such a good perk to have. And then also one thing that people don't really notice is you got to really read your terms and conditions and what the actual benefits are, because with my travel cards, they actually give you travel insurance. So a lot of things that they cover are lost luggage, reimbursements, your auto rental. If you actually rent a car when you're out and about, they cover those if you ever get in a collision. So don't accept their insurance there. I mean, obviously read the terms and conditions and exactly what they're going to cover and what they're not going to cover. But I mean, look into that, because that's something that whenever you go to the rental car place, you're going to want to get insurance, because you're not going to want to be liable for that kind of thing. And then they also have trip delay reimbursement. So I just think that that is so cool to know about. And a lot of people don't know about that. And then one more thing that I have a huge tip is when you get credit cards, make sure you follow up on all their emails that they send you, because a lot of the times they'll have incentives within the email. So maybe you'll look at the app or download an app and then you'll get extra points. Or so one of the apps that I have is for my United card. And basically what they do is they'll put all these different stores on this app, and it's linked up to your United Mileage card. And so for like Bath and Body Works, instead of getting the 2 points for every dollar that you spend, you actually get 5 times the amount of points for going to Bath and Body Works and using that app. So just such a cool little perk. And I wouldn't have known that unless I had checked my emails and read my emails about it.
Exactly. And when you're looking for all of these cards, tons of websites will do a side-by-side comparison. If you know you like to travel, say like Crystal, and you're not sure which type of travel card to get because there are so many just travel cards, many websites, if you just search, you know, comparison of travel credit cards, they'll pull it up. They'll show you all the points, what the annual fees are. So it's really easy to just do a quick Google search and find all the information you need on the different types of cards to see which one is best for you. Unfortunately, though, credit card companies are not like some sort of, you know, storybook grandparent who's handing you a wad of cash for your birthday and says, go have fun and enjoy. They're not, you know, Glinda the Good Witch from The Wizard of Oz helping you down the yellow brick road to a good credit score. So they're for-profit businesses, and they make their money by charging high interest rates when you don't pay off your monthly balance in full. So it becomes incredibly lucrative for credit card companies when people just pay, like we talked about, the minimum balance, and they start accumulating accumulating a ton of interest on the outstanding balance.
Yeah, they're not just giving you money for that limit.
Yeah. So you can make credit cards work for you and get all the benefits they offer if you make sure you're only spending what you can afford to pay off in full each month. And you really don't want to get into credit card debt if you can help it. But again, if you do have credit card debt, be sure you're paying more than the minimum due if you're able, so that you can mitigate the extremely high interest that credit cards are going to charge you. That's how they pay for all the really cool rewards and points that Crystal gets to take advantage of, because there are so many better things that you should be spending your money on than paying credit card companies wild amounts of interest.
Exactly.
And your credit score is a really important number that sticks with you for life. So it's important to build good credit now. And you can always work, like we said, to build it back up. But these are really important things that it can feel kind of confusing. There are weird terms like APR. Why not just call it interest? So we hope that this helped explain things a little bit more, but you can always reach out to us. And Crystal, how can people reach out to you?
Yeah, so you can obviously call in and talk to me on the phone. The toll-free number here is 888-486-3939.
And people can reach out to me with the same phone number, or my email address is justine.hall@financialsense.com.
So if you want to reach out to me by email, it's crystal.kessler@financialsense.com.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this month's edition of Millennial Monday, and we can't wait to talk to you guys again next month.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.